hit overview up at the top. Hit lead.
All right. What's up, Bragger League? It's your boy, Brett McIntyre. I am here with my good friend, Josie Gibbons. Josie, how's it going?
It's going well, Brett. What's up, Bragger League?
Now, Josie, I would be remiss if I did not ask you, can you hear me right now?
I can hear you. It's fantastic.
Okay, great. No, no reason. Justin, J-Ball, Russell is also joining us on the pod tonight. Justin, how are you?
Huh, Bragger. Hey, Brett, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm better now that I'm talking to you. I can tell you that for darn sure.
Thanks.
Even though we text quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't get to hear your dulcet tones often enough.
That's right. So you earlier in the group chat, you used the word dulcet. Can you define it?
I could, but I'm not going to. It'd make for boring audio.
Gotcha.
Believe me, I could.
Okay. Finally, we have the man himself, the record breaker, the commish, the man of many titles, Mr. Benjamin Robert Jones. Ben, how's it going?
Yeah, hey, what's up, Brett? Not feeling too hot. Fresh off the worst loss in the entire league this year of 71 points. That loud boo that was certainly for me as the commissioner, which I definitely deserve, could be equally applied to the performance of my fantasy team. So thank you. Happy to be here.
Ben, how was your week like otherwise? Like, did you have a good week at work? Like, how was church? Just
Ben, how was church Sunday?
Well, you see, there's a lot of, you know, fantasy football is a game of really about questions.
Yeah, how was church?
Yeah, of course. Why do you ask?
I don't think I saw you there.
Did Ben lay up on Sunday?
He wasn't there.
My granny, Margaret Ann Britt, anytime you miss church, she calls it laying up. Did you lay up?
Totally laid up.
Okay. Look, Shelby and I decided to take a trip to the Peter Anderson Festival down in Ocean Springs. Okay, what of it? Okay, all right. Okay.
There seems to be a direct correlation between laying up and your fantasy performance.
My pastor, actually in Ocean Springs, he actually called it backsliding. That's what he said. I told him I went fishing one Sunday. He said, sorry that you backslid. I felt really bad after that.
Ouch. So Saturday night, maybe Sunday morning, 1 a.m. Saturday, we had a conversation. What was the end of that conversation? What did you say?
This is riveting content, by the way. So I said, Shelby and I will be there on time Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And 9 hours later, where were you?
I was not. Uh-huh. At 4 points. Uh-huh. All right. Listen, I've had an awful week, okay? You're just piling it on here.
So on to fantasy.
Laid up.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyways, so Justin, it's your first time, long-time listener, first-time caller, Justin Russell. We wanted to get your general impressions of the league, but before we did that, I wanted to share a story about a man I knew named Slash. Now, so whenever I was a manager for the Golden Eagles, there were legendary stories about this guy named Slash who I had never met before. And apparently he would stretch out the players' collars who had made him angry. He would go to their uniforms and he would stretch out their collars and he would leave their straps out of the wash. Among other things that I think were just folk tales, but and so I had always heard about this guy named Slash, and then one day I met a guy named Justin Russell, and we got to talking, and it turned out that he was a manager as well, and he and Slash were one and the same.
Yeah, that's me. I don't know if you were waiting for me to talk. Yeah, that is me. A lot of people from my college baseball days, as I like to call them, knew me as Slash. The story you just told is true. There's a lot of backstory to that, but there's also probably some more incriminating stuff that happened as well on my end. So I'll leave out the justification so as not to further incriminate myself.
Gotcha. Well, it was always great. You were kind of a folk hero among the other managers. You did what we all wish we could have done.
Well, baseball managers are an underappreciated class of society. If you go to TBC, you should give them a hashtag thankless card sometime this week. Find a baseball manager and give them a card.
At one point, we were shooting an episode of Somehow Our Manager, our web show, which is a delayed flex.
Are you going to bring that back anytime soon?
No, we're canceled by YouTube. We're the first show ever that YouTube canceled. But we took a player's wash strap and put it in an ant pile. But the joke was on us because I had to get them all the ants out, and a lot of them bit me. So, anyways, Justin, we wanted to get your impressions of the league this year, just to kind of bring it back a little bit. Sorry about that. We wanted to get your impressions of the league this year, what you liked, what you didn't like, and what you're looking forward to and your darkest regrets.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Justin / Russell here. Longtime listener, first time caller. But I didn't tell you I meant to say that about myself, and you took it. I actually planned that line all day, and then you took it. Long-time listener, first-time caller, guys. Let me give you a quick rundown of my thoughts. So most of them are going to be super self-centered because I really don't give a crap about anybody else's fantasy team. I know none of you care about mine, and you can start hitting the 15-second fast-forward button if you want to until I stop talking. I just want to say this was once a league that was named after a phrase that I coined for our group. That would be Brad. There's at least one team in the league also named after a phrase that I coined. That would be Aunt Pam. And once upon a time won this league and was even very late given a trophy for it. And my, how the mighty have fallen. I'm currently sitting in 11th place. Everybody who once had my face or my image as their team logo has probably taken that down by now, just because they're probably ashamed for my face to be associated with their fantasy team whatsoever. So I don't have a lot of highlights from my season, but I'll just give you a couple of lowlights. So just a few off the top of my head. Basically, the Nard Dogs have been an organization this year where fantasy careers go to die, only to be resurrected when they leave the Nard Dogs. A couple of examples. Wide receiver named DeAndre Hopkins, he was widely thought to be the best receiver in fantasy entering the season. I think everybody would have agreed he was at least top two or three.
For sure.
He had about a four-week stint with the Nard Dogs. During those 3 or 4 weeks, he, as a wide receiver, threw more interceptions than he scored touchdowns for my squad. That's not something that most of you can say about any receivers you've had this year.
It's a good stat.
Melvin Gordon was a top five running back last year, and Austin Eckler was a top five running back this year. And so I traded for both of them, and between the two of them, they could not muster up 100 total yards the entire time they were on my squad. So that was awesome. But don't worry, they're playing fine now. Thanks for asking. I've kind of tracked their careers since I traded them away, because I traded them away for a player who has, in 3 weeks, has gained me a grand total of 2 yards. His name is David Johnson. That's been covered already on the podcast. He joined my team. He started for his real football team that week, and then apparently he died on the field. But the good news is that his handcuff was widely available in 99% of fantasy leagues except for ours. And so that wasn't an option for me either. But then they also acquired another handcuff for him who also was available in 97% of fantasy leagues, also not available in ours. So basically, if you're still skipping forward, you can keep skipping. But essentially, it's been pretty miserable for me. I also, for some reason, I don't really know why, I traded away a top four tight end for two players that I think between the two players I got for Kittle, I think I've started one of those two players once in the week since I've made the trade. So one of them was Tyrell Williams, and moments after I made the trade, he popped up on the injury report and then did not play a single snap again until he scored 15 points on my bench in a week when I lost by six. because I started a receiver over him who scored 4.3, but who's counting? The other player was Miles Sanders, who actually knows, like, he actually is logged into the Bragger League, and when he sees that he's on my bench, he scores somewhere between 17 and 20 fantasy points, but when he sees that he's in my lineup, he cannot muster up more than 34 total yards. So that's been fun. Anyway, I won't talk anymore about my team. Some other highlights from the year. It's always a lot of fun playing this league with everybody. This has all been talked about already in previous weeks, but those were all weeks when I wasn't invited to be on the podcast until I did a lot of shaming everybody into inviting me. And so, but I'll say it anyway. The league has gotten, it was already a pretty competitive league, and it's gotten more and more competitive. We made the move from 10 teams to 12, and I've got to give mad props to Shelby Noakes and Brett McIntyre, who, I'm sorry, Shelby Noakes Jones.
I paid for that last name. Let's not forget.
There you go. Pay dearly every day. Am I right?
Every day.
Oh, man. Marriage jokes. They're funny. So anyway, the addition of Shelby and Brett has been a really good addition to the league. I think we would all agree. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was Shelby and Brett. I forgot for a minute what I was saying. They made the league a lot more competitive in a lot of ways, and we really enjoy them coming along. All you other schmucks that were here for year one, y'all are fine too. And it's a fun league, and there's a lot of parity in the league. It's a lot of fun. I'll stop talking about it. I'm done. Who's next?
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the messages you sent about the podcast. It kind of reminded me if the guy who was the valedictorian last year came back to the graduation and was like, this valedictorian isn't as good as me. I'll never graduate. It was kind of like that. Ben, I'm going to toss it over to you, and I'm going to let you kind of get into our matchups for the week, our recaps.
Hey, thanks for that, Brett. Jay, we're certainly thrilled to have you on here. I know the league is going to certainly enjoy hearing you rant and rave about your team. You know, I've always said that we should give the people what they want, and the people want to hear more J-Ball. So happy to have you on, and happy to share the mic with you.
Hey, thanks. I have one more thing to say. Thanks, everybody, for the trophy. A lot of times when you see a real football team win a championship, or in any sport they win a championship, and then they have like a parade in the city where they're celebrated for their championship. And usually the parade happens kind of awkwardly late, like 3 or 4 weeks after the Super Bowl, when you've kind of forgotten who won the Super Bowl by now. And it's always a little bit late, but it's never so late that like pretend that the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and then the next year, right about the time that they were, I don't know, 3-6, they threw their parade in Boston. Like, nobody would come out to see it. That's kind of what happened with the trophy presentation. Everybody was like, wait, why are you giving him a trophy? But I did, in fact, once upon a time, have a fantasy team that didn't totally suck. So thank y'all for the trophy. It's on my shelf at work. There's photographic evidence.
Thank you for that. So guys, we're going to get right into it. So we're going to talk about, we're going to hit our matchup reviews. We've got a couple of key stats for you that I think really stand out. And then we're going to close it out with starts of the week. We had some really strategic plays that ended up paying off real big for a few guys. And then we might even sneak in a little bit of Noakes nose. So Shelby tends to pop up just like it. So
she pops up.
What?
Can we sneak in some Juju comps at the end also?
I feel like we've seen enough of Juju. As a matter of fact, I've seen enough of Juju on my team.
Maybe 10 more.
Jeez, gosh. Please know, everyone knows he stinks. But if someone wants to trade for him, especially you, Jonathan Geary, I'll certainly consider it.
Juju or Patrick Swayze?
At this point, I'd take Patrick Swayze.
He'd score about as many points.
Juju would only score 1.6 more than Patrick Swayze, who has apparently been dead for 10 years.
Not funny.
All right, let's get into the matchup reviews. All right, so up first we've got OC and Geary. So Just to hit us with a little bit of a recap, we do have Josie here. So, Josie, go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you felt. You put up a whopping 136. You got to feel good. So just talk us through the matchup. Tell me when you felt nervous and when you felt good.
Okay, so coming into the matchup, I think I felt better than I have with any other matchup. Predicted to have about a 42-point advantage. Felt really good about it.
Which is only slightly less than what I scored this week.
And so going into it, I felt good. After Thursday night, still felt pretty good. But there was a point in the week where I looked up and Gary's predictions are rising steadily and mine are falling fast. And I think I texted Ben at one point and I said, somehow I've managed to squander a 42-point predicted lead down to 8. And so at one point there was only an 8-point difference and I got a little bit nervous and then it worked out in the end. Dallas defense came in the clutch right at the end in garbage time. But yeah, I was happy to see a win. Always happy to see the points go up. Cause as someone who has lost a tiebreaker to lose the league solely based on points, I need every point I can get. So.
Yeah. So Josh, you certainly had a big week and somehow freaking Derrick Henry is still scoring points. The plotter himself right in the back of his alignment finds a way to get into the end zone. So
least favorite player in the NFL.
Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Oh, that wasn't a question. I'm sorry.
No, it was a statement by me.
Well, we've talked about that multiple times. Admittedly, he's not somebody I was targeting. I liked the value where I got him, and somehow he's really worked out. And so I'm not going to question it. I'll take him. I'm probably not going to target him next year, but if I get him in a good value again, who knows?
Oh, jeez. All right, Brett, talk to me a little bit about Gary's team. Gary put up 103 and actually had a pretty big performance for just about everyone but those vaunted wide receivers. Talk to me a little bit about Gary's team.
Yeah, man, you know, if Gary had gotten anything from his wide receivers, he had a chance to be the David that defeated the metaphorical Goliath that is Josie's team. Allen Robinson definitely plays with Mitch Trubisky. Demaryius Thomas definitely gets coached by Adam Gase. And Nelson Agholor, as it turns out, is still in the NFL. So, you know, literally everybody – I mean, Frank Gore didn't do real well. But, Gary's team did great this week, but the receivers just killed him. But he actually could have done worse. He actually could have done worse. Mecole Hardman scored negative points on his bench.
Hey, which is better than whenever I started Mecole Hardman, and he scored negative points in my lineup. So I'd say that's a strong start. Or strong set, rather.
Another fun stat, Jonathan Gary's receivers, his starting receivers combined for 4.6 fantasy points. If you're doing the math, that's 46 total yards by three starting NFL receivers. That is 14 more yards than Ben Jones' receivers combined for. So, fun week for those six guys.
This is sad, inaccurate stat.
Cole Beasley had twice as many points as y'all's, both Gary's and Ben's receiving corps.
Yep, this is all true. Thank you for bringing that up. All right, so let's keep going. And since we're on the topic of Cole Beasley, let's go ahead and get into my matchup a little bit. So I can rant and rave, and believe me, I will. But I'll let you guys take a whack at this. At this match before I share my illustrious insights.
Look, first out of the gate, we got to give props to Stewie. We talked last podcast about his conservative wins, and apparently he heard it and he took it to heart and put up a whopping 135.7. Not conservative at all. He really showed what he could do. And players came in the clutch for him.
Yeah. I'm going to just address the elephant in the room, and then I'm going to give it to you in a minute. You got ginned. So in the future, I would like to make a bragger dictionary, And one of the terms that I would submit would be Ginned, which is when you start someone along the lines of Ted Ginn, who really shouldn't be in your lineup, but they end up scoring a lot of points anyways, just out of sheer destiny. And Kenyon drank multiple times tonight. I've called him Kenyon Drake, and not on purpose. It was on accident. So Kenyon Drake scored 24 points against you, despite the fact that he had been on the team for about 4 days. That's killer. Christian McCaffrey went nuts, as he does. Tyreek Hill was great. And man, if Stu can continue to get this kind of production out of McCaffrey and Hill, I mean, he could be somebody to deal with. He really needs David Johnson to not come back, though.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if David Johnson came back, but that's just my opinion. It sucks for our esteemed commissioner, BJ, that he was projected to win by 15, and instead he lost by 71. So that was about 86 points difference in the projection and what actually happened. Funny enough, the margin by which Ben was defeated is more points than what my team scores a lot of weeks. So there could have been there have been plenty of weeks this season where Ben could have played me and not started anybody, and he still would have lost by less than he lost by this week, because I rarely score 71.
Yeah, so an interesting stat that came up this week. So the commish earns the title of the largest beatdown of the season, 71-point margin of defeat. Interesting enough, Ben also has the Bragger League history record for the largest beatdown to the one and only Steven Adams, great friend of the show.
Great friend of the show.
Great friend of the show.
Last year, got me in my Thielens, defeated Chubby Bunny by 86 points. So Ben holds not only the season record for the biggest beatdown, but also the Bragger League history record.
Yeah, it would seem like 86 was my destiny.
Hey, Josie, does Ben now hold 1 and 2? Is that what that means?
Yeah, he holds 1 and 2.
Wow.
How about that? What an awesome stat, y'all. I'm so glad I got you on the pod.
The Patrick Swayze of stats.
Golly, can we drop the Patrick Swayze?
Dropping me Swayze.
All right, so let me rant for a little bit. So I obviously called out Stu Shoemake pretty heartedly on our podcast.
Heartily. You rated him, that's for sure. You rated him heartily.
And he definitely his team responded pretty well. So a couple of key things happened. So as we all know, like, Thursday night football is a time where we essentially get to feel a night otherwise for hanging out and spending time with people that we care about with NFL football. Typically mediocre, not something that people enjoy watching. One of the great things about playing Stu Shoemake this week was that he started the one and only Mr. Kenyon Drake. And Kenyon Drake put up 24.20 points. And if you exclude all of his games at Alabama, that is the most points Kenyon Drake has put up in a single game for his entire career. So not only did I face Stewie when his team goes off, also face career game from Kenyon Drake. So interestingly enough, I sit here and think, okay, the 14-point projected lead that I was supposed to have was kind of eroded simply by the Drake game. Cool, that's fine. There were a couple of other things that happened. I look at the matchup, Stewie starting Kirk Cousins. We know that Kirk Cousins plays for the Minnesota Vikings. I say, look, cool. I have Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And I say, awesome. If Kirk Cousins throws 3 touchdowns in a game, there's probably a 95% chance that he throws 2 of those to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, which are on my team. This would be a net victory.
You capped him.
Yeah, capped him. I was outsmarting Stewie. So fast forward, Kirk Cousins lights up the scoreboard for 21 points. He does throw those 3 touchdowns. Zero of those touchdowns go to Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen. And as a matter of fact, those touchdowns go to three players. Brett, do you want to take a stab?
Laquon Treadwell had to be one of them.
Laquon Treadwell, a famous player from Ole Miss, has never scored a touchdown in the NFL. That is still true today. Anyone okay. else?
Shot? The Johnson one.
Okay, so yeah, absolutely. The three touchdowns were to Olabisi Johnson, a receiving touchdown to Amir Abdullah,
the
third string running back, still in the league somehow, and Kyle freaking Rudolph. So three touchdowns go to none of my receivers.
Can we talk about whether or not it's Stephon Diggs or Stephon Diggs? Or would that be a waste of time?
Stephon Diggs. Stephon.
What did I say?
You say Stephon every time.
Oh, sure.
Is it Stephon?
Yeah, like Stephon Wolf.
Is it Adam Thielen or Adam Thielen?
I don't know if that's up for debate.
Moving on.
All right.
Laquon Treadwell has scored a touchdown. He scored one touchdown in 2018.
Idiot.
All right, look, what do I know? All right. So nonetheless, those guys obviously stunk it up. Juju obviously stinks. You guys know my opinion about him. So, all right, it was obviously quite the bad week. The cool thing was that Stewie had Duke Johnson and Darren Fells play the 8:30 game in London. So one thing that's really awesome about playing against a guy whose team plays in the London game is that you can know that you're beat before lunchtime. And so by the time we were headed down to the Peter Anderson Festival, which has already been discussed on the podcast, my week was pretty much over, and I just enjoyed shopping around with some pottery. So there were some positives, but quick stat on Duke Johnson. So Duke Johnson scored 14.1. He has only scored over 14 points four other times in his career, in his six-year career. One of those times, of course, happened to be against me. So, nonetheless, this is obviously quite the week for the one and only Mr. Studel Shoemake, and quite a frustrating week, as you can see, from the commissioner. And so much so that it left me to leave him a little nasty gram on his desk on Monday morning. So, that's it. Rant over. Thank you. I've enjoyed this. This was therapeutic.
All right, so moving into our next matchup, I think that one's pretty much been talked to death.
Okay, and one more thing. I don't know if we actually know, like, the dire situation that I'm in. So here's a couple of things that have happened. So Adam Thielen goes down, all right, early in the game. All right, great. The idiot came back and he should have stayed out. Okay, awesome. 0 point. So Adam Thielen's going to miss some time. Simultaneously, Mark Walton becomes suspended for some sort of domestic violence occurrence. Okay, great. So Mark Walton, not exactly lighting up the scoreboard, nonetheless, won't play. Backup wide receiver for current team named Crimeade, Preston Williams, who lit up the scoreboard for a couple of touchdowns, is on IR for the rest of the season.
Injured reserve.
See you later. In addition to that, Le'Veon Bell gets a rogue MRI on Monday. They sign Jalen Adams from the practice squad, and Evan Engram is now questionable for Sunday's game. So I don't know that we've quite realized the full, like, on disaster that I might be facing. Listen, there's a chance that I won't be able to field a team to start this week.
Ben, can I add something to that?
Sure. Please feel free. You want to add? Here's another thing to add. I could have made any roster move on my team, literally started any wide receiver on my bench for any wide receiver that I played, and I would have improved my week. Or how about this? You start the Seattle defense against Tampa Bay, who's, probably the third most friendly to opposing defenses, and they score 3 points while I bench Pittsburgh, who scores 19. So, I mean, just pile it on. Fire away.
Should we talk about Sunday morning?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, so all I was going to add to that, and I mean, you know, I am going to add to it. I noticed before the podcast, and we kind of discussed it, you've got a player from the Bengals. You had two players from the Dolphins, a player from the Jets, a player from the Browns, a player from the Steelers, and two receivers on the same team.
Yeah.
And did I mention the player from the Giants?
Yeah. What's your point?
Just traditionally, those teams aren't very good. And, you know, you've got a lot of their players.
Okay, look, it's been a rough year. What else do you want me to say?
Look, no, yeah, I think you've said it.
Look, in defense, look, I got caught in the talent trap, right? So I was pursuing – I've obviously made trades throughout the year to try and chase down guys who I thought were talented. Cool. Yeah, maybe they are. They play in bad situations. I think the lesson we've learned is that talent doesn't surpass opportunity.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and take it on to the next matchup.
Yes. Thank you.
Probably what we would all agree, we wanted to spend a little time on it, probably the best matchup of the week. It really was a true Monday night miracle, classic fantasy matchup. And it was Josh Bonerchamp Thompson against Tyler Romosexuals Reed. Josh ended up winning it 112-109. And it was a really, really cool end with Amari Cooper catching that long touchdown at the end of the game. So does anybody want to kind of tee off on this one and talk about this game a little bit?
Yeah, so I think a couple of big points here were the Jimmy G start. So T. Reed was actually facing some bye week issues with Matt Ryan being out and had to find a strategic start and ended up landing Jimmy G with 28 points on Thursday. I thought that was a big start for sure. Might end up coming up later in the show. Melvin Gordon did something he hasn't done all year. Even with the Aaron Jones flop, he ended up having a great week.
Yeah, the Marvin Jones start by T. Reed. So, I mean, I think most people in a three-receiver league are going to start Marvin Jones. But anytime you start Marvin Jones, you don't know if you're going to get 1.8 points or 18 points, and T. Reed pulled out the 18 this week, so that was another good start there. Hats off to him for that. Tough loss, very tough loss. I'm not going to lie, I was pulling for T. Reed. Other 3-6 teams, we were probably all pulling for T. Reed on Monday night. No offense to the Boner Champs. so it was a heartbreaker for T. Reed, and it was a heartbreaker for a lot of us other bottom feeders.
Yeah, I will say this, though. My man David Montgomery has turned the corner. And though Mitch Trubisky is truly toilet water, it seems like David Montgomery is having this breakout that, you know, we all held him for early in the year.
Yeah, the only thing worse than trading David Montgomery once is trading David Montgomery twice.
Absolutely. So let's keep it going here. This was truly a cool matchup to watch. Gallup and Cooper both ended up getting in the end zone, which really made for a great spot. I feel like T. Reed's still pretty safe with regard to the playoffs. He's got to feel good about being in sixth place. And Josh Thompson, let's get real with ourselves. If he lands a couple of good spots on the way in, there's a chance, I think, still that he could find himself in the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to give Josh Thompson props, speaking of David Montgomery. So right now, Thompson is two games out of the ACT, which I know feels great for him to get that win. And he couldn't have gotten this win without David Montgomery and Mark Ingram. And he got it on a week where Odell Beckham scored 8.7 fantasy points. So a few weeks back, Thompson gave up Odell for those two running backs, and even if it only earned him this one win, if this win keeps him out of the ACT, he's got to hang his hat on that. So for good, sure. Good move there, Thompson.
Yeah, good stat.
Or Boner Champ, as I call you.
All right, so let's move on to Grubbsy and Brett. So I'll address the big thing in the room. So
elephant, would you say?
Maybe
a big thing, but not that big.
Not that big. That might be too big.
Okay.
So you obviously had Jalen Samuels, James Conner sat, and you ended up beating him 106-87. Brett, talk us through the matchup. You went with our boy, Matt Stafford, the ageless wonder, somehow still hurling touchdowns. Talk to us.
It was a good matchup. Grubbs' team is really, really solid. Matt Stafford is 31. I believe he's the same age as you.
I'm 30.
Okay. Thank
you. We've got those good looks.
Y'all look a lot alike.
Nobody's face can fill up a helmet like Matt Stafford.
That's right. Hey, Brett, who's the best looking quarterback in the NFL?
Well, you want me to say Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think I probably will. Jimmy Garoppolo is a pretty darn good looking guy. Matt Stafford's a good looking guy. Russell Wilson, pretty good looking guy. Although I did see him next to Jimmy Garoppolo on TV, and there was no comparison. And then probably Tom Brady.
All right. Make a decision.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Who's the ugliest tight end in the league? Don't answer that, but when y'all get a chance, go pull up as many tight ends as you can on the waiver wire and just post some pictures to the group chat, because my man Jason Hudson and I, we had a lot of fun trying to pick a streamer tight end a few weeks ago based solely on how ugly their picture was. There are some ugly tight ends in the NFL.
I can't wait till I get to be a part of this.
So y'all post some pics. You'll find some good ones.
All right, and we'll let Shelby decide on who's the best-looking quarterback. She's our resident woman.
Drew Brees has that beauty mark.
That's true.
Lamar Jackson.
The matchup with me and Grubbs, which we talked about like 20 minutes ago, Grubbs and I have been in deep discussions multiple weeks for a trade that involved Chris Godwin and Tyler Lockett. And we've never quite been able to work it out. And Tyler Lockett destroyed my world this week and almost single-handedly brought Grubbs there. He just didn't get a lot of help otherwise. And Godwin didn't do as much as Lockett did. So that freaked me out a little bit. But overall, I think really just the Galladay-Stafford stack kind of saved me this week.
Yeah, I would like to just a friendly reminder, you did win by 20.
It doesn't, don't get caught in the minutia. It's
Brett
about the experience.
He thinks he makes people feel better while he's beating the crap out of them by talking about how nervous he is and how he's about to lose.
I want you to enjoy the game, Justice, because I care about you.
And it was never very close. I'm not saying that against Grubbs. It just, from the opening projections down to the closing ones, it just wasn't ever super close. And I feel for Grubbs because he's in the same boat as me at 3-6. But congrats to you, Brett, on the big win.
For sure. Man, how bad has Keenan Allen been? Since his initial stretch, like how just incredibly subpar has he been?
Well, Keenan Allen has really tested a hypothesis this year about who has lost more trades between Grubbs and me, because it's been well documented on this podcast how much bad luck Grubbs has had with some trades. And just earlier in this podcast of this episode, I documented how bad some of my trades have been. I gave Keenan Allen to Grubbs a few weeks ago. I think that Grubbs and I both valued Keenan Allen really highly and were really expecting a bounce back. It has not happened yet. And Logan, I am sorry about that. But if it makes you feel any better, my team still sucks, even if Keenan Allen has not paid off for you.
All right. So let's do a little player comparison. Brett and Jay Ball, you're on the spot. Who would you rather have, Keenan Allen or Tyler Lockett?
That's easy. Lockett.
Next. Lockett.
All right, Keenan Allen or Cortland Sutton?
Keenan Allen.
I'm good. It's a push. I wouldn't trade either one of them for the other. Can I push?
No, you have to make a call.
Keenan Allen.
All right. Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper?
Cooper.
Amari Cooper.
How about last one on Keenan Allen? Keenan Allen or Nuke Hopkins?
That's easy.
All right, how about this one? Keenan Allen or Kenny Galladay?
Galladay. It's Galladay. I hate that.
Yeah, give me Galladay. Josh, what do you think?
Yeah, Galladay right now.
All right.
Keenan Allen.
Gotta be Allen. You said Keenan Allen or DJ Moore?
Keenan Allen or DJ Moore.
Yeah, Keenan Allen.
Good job, Logan. Good trade.
I'm probably gonna float an offer for him. No, we're talking about it.
All right, let's keep going. To sum it up, Grubbs taking another loss puts him at 3-6 with both myself and J-Ball. So Let's keep on here, and let's move to really kind of a heartbreaker. I thought it was there was certainly a chance to sneak it out at the end, but let's move on to Stephen A., great friend of the show, right?
Friend of the show, Stephen Adams.
Great friend of the show.
So we've got Stephen Adams, great friend of the show, and Stinton here. So just as a quick overview from that matchup, Stephen A., great friend of the show, started off with a strong Thursday. Kittle, after looking like he might have got hurt, came back and played really well. Had to like kind of where he was sitting. Did have a hair of a letdown from Tevin Coleman. Like, thought that they would run the ball a hair more. Maybe we're hoping he was going to get into the end zone. But we did see Emmanuel Sanders catch a TD there. Really looked strong with Garoppolo. So he really left Thursday thinking like, hey, this could be the week that Stinton actually takes the loss. Kamara on the bye. But as the games begin to play out, Stinton had a couple of big performances. Ronald Jones has to be mentioned. Mohamed Sanu certainly has to be mentioned. And then, you know, the real the real stud of his week was Brett Maher, the kicker from Dallas. But it really did come down to the wire, and I think a late catch from Barkley for, 40, 60 yards, something like that. Shelby is saying a 64-yard catch from Saquon Barkley really kind of sealed the deal there, really put the nail in the coffin. But
Brett Maher?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Surely it's Mayer.
I think it's Maher.
That's not right.
All right.
I think it's Stefan.
Someone get it in the group chat. Hey, Stinton, when you hear this, go ahead and tell us the correct pronunciation of the kicker from Dallas.
Did you hear Stu Hinton try to pronounce Kaimi Fairburn at the draft?
Oh, good grief.
No, but it doesn't matter. No one pronounces it correctly.
Well, he didn't either.
Have you ever seen his real name?
Who, Kaimi Fairburn?
Somebody look up Fairburn's Christian name and send it to the group chat.
Like his his government name?
Look it up. Carry on. Okay. I want to give a quick shout out to Stinton here. Hey, Stinton, welcome to fantasy football, where you start a DST and they only score 4 points for you. That's actually the way that all of us feel most every week. And it's not that I mean, you won, so I know you're not really beating yourself up about it. And it was a good win for you. I just want to point out that sometimes DSTs don't score 20-plus points. So, fantasy football.
Most folks would feel fine. Most folks, if you said, hey, I'll offer you 4 points for your defense, you'd say, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, better than zero.
Yep.
Better than zero, which is what I scored this week.
All right, moving on.
All right, so let's get into the next matchup, which we've certainly all been waiting for, Nard Dogs and Threat Level Midnight. So J-Ball, Shelby, who, like, we have to be real with ourselves, has continued with fantasy dominance over us despite whatever zero her team decides to toss out each week. Somehow the rest of the guys make up for it. So, J-Ball, I know you're in kind of the must-win mode, tough matchup. Talk us through it.
Yeah, I'll keep this really brief. There's not very much for me to say. I was projected to win by a really slim margin. I've actually been projected to win a lot of weeks this year, but you might have noticed I have not won a lot of weeks. I've won exactly three. So I was projected to win, but I didn't feel good about it. Rightfully so. Shouldn't have felt good about it. There were a few surprises. So if you would have told me that my flex and tight end would outscore Shelby's by 26 total points, I would have felt really good about that and thought I was probably going to get the victory. That did happen, but I didn't get the victory. Shelby squad. surprises for me, maybe not for her, but Mike Williams had his first good game of the year. His first 100-yard game of his career, that came against me. Curtis Samuel is better than DJ Moore. We both started some Kyle Allen receivers. not a total shock there. Samuel's been fine. Moore has been fine. But I would have liked to have come out with the better Panthers receiver this week. That would have helped. Truth be told, we'll just call a spade a spade. Shelby outscored me at every single position except for the two that I led off with, which was tight end and flex. Every other spot, she outscored me. We tied at the DST spot. So her team was better than mine all around, which makes sense because her team is better than mine on the season. Her team has won more games, scored more points, is better in the standings, has beat my team head-to-head, and there is no metric by which my team is better than hers or 10 other teams in the league. And we can move on to whatever's next on the docket. But Shelby is sitting here. Shelby, what do you think about our matchup this week?
Yeah.
I came into it kind of worried there for a minute, but I was glad to see some of my people show up. It's good to see Mike Evans finally producing the way that I originally hoped for after that big old goose egg. So got to feel good about that.
Got to.
So talk us through. We gave you a little bit of love on the podcast. Spent some little time with your start-sit decision of Mustache Minshew or Lamar Jackson against the Patriots. The smarter guys in the room said start L-Jax. I, the idiot, said start Mustache Minshew. Thankfully, you didn't know what we said, and you chose rightly. So talk us through that decision a little bit.
Yeah, so I was contemplating all weekend on what I should do and just going back and forth. And I, as of like 1 o'clock that night, I think I put Minshew in. And then I woke up Sunday morning at 7 and was just like, oh, I just got to stick with my man, L-Jax.
Woke up getting ready for church?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just so that we're clear, Shelby Knox Jones ain't never woke up at 7 a.m. for church.
That's probably true. But I woke up and I was like, I just got to, you know, stick with it. And he's, you know, produced so far and I got to trust the system. So, and he did. He produced for me.
Yeah, no doubt. Probably going to be mentioned a little bit later in the show. Hey, Brett, any closing thoughts there?
Yeah, let the record show. Gardner Minshew showed so poorly.
Hold on, Brett.
Okay. For any particular. Hello?
Hold on, Brett, can you hear us?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay.
We're good.
You're back.
We're back. Welcome back.
Okay.
That's going to be titillating listening for all of our hearers.
Riveting content.
I might be able to make something happen with it. But I won't be able to with this part, so that's a problem. My closing thoughts on that are that Gardner Minshew performed so poorly for Shelby Noakes Jones that not only did she bench him, he's actually been informed of his release from Threat Level Midnight.
Retroactive today, huh?
Yes, that's correct.
Nice. Smart move, honestly.
Yeah, probably so. Not actually the starter anymore.
That's true. Yeah, good point. Hot take. All right, so let's keep it going here. We're gonna wind down the show a little bit for you. So Jesse was looking earlier. He's got a couple of really interesting stats, mostly about our man Josh. Competition has been fierce, particularly against him. But Jesse, what you got on for JT? A little hope he can put in his pipe and smoke.
Look, Josh has had a rough go of it so far. He is currently on track to have the highest average points against in Bragger League history. He is averaging 115 points against, which is it's hard to win when you've got that coming against you every single week. Before this, the league average would have been about 113.5. Interesting enough, our commissioner has had right on target for 113.5. So he's on a historical pace as well. And then T Reed as well has had 114 points on average scored against him. So a lot of points being thrown around in the league this year, but Josh with 115 currently has the league record. And so the fact that he's been able to scrape off the bottom and put a couple games between him and the ACT is pretty impressive that he's been able to do that with 115 points a week scored against him.
That's right. There's no doubt that with T. Reed being a few spots ahead of us in the rankings, it's really a testament to just how well and how timely T. Reed's team has played to be able to pull off some wins against that. So great stat there, Joe. Appreciate you and the hard work of your calculator. move on now. Let's get into our last couple of segments here. Let's move to starts of the week. So start of the week essentially is start or bold start, or you chose the right start sit decision. So Jay Ball, we'll start with you. What you got for us?
Yeah, my start of the week goes out to my man, chocolate and vanilla himself, Tyler T. Reed, for his start of Jimmy Garoppolo, or is it Jimmy Garoppolo? I'm giving him the start of the week. Garoppolo has been fine this year, really as fine as he was on Thursday night. There were a lot of QBs out there on the waiver wire that he could have picked, and I'm pretty sure he picked the right one. Sadly, he lost, but I'm sure that feels good in defeat to get a shout out from me. Nothing like a 3-16 to tell you did a good job in a loss.
No doubt. Every time I speak, people feel that way. Brett, what you got for us?
Yeah, I would like to call attention. There's not been a lot to celebrate this year for Jay Ball. It's been a rough year, but he did make a move that I had hoped to make long ago, and that was to trade for Devin Singletary. And it was for exactly the occasion that happened this past Sunday. Devin Singletary went off and scored 20 points, so he is my start of the week.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, sorry, everybody. Brett put his head inside of a pillow for that last sentence or two.
Yeah.
It's a weird tactic on a podcast.
I actually covered up the speaker on my phone with my thumb without realizing it.
Makes sense.
Bragger.
This is incredible. Yeah, Devin Singletary is a former commissioner alum. Glad to see him doing well after he left my possession. Josie, what you got for start of the week? What you going with?
I'm going to have to go with Miss Threat Level Midnight herself. Going to go with Curtis Samuel as the start of the week against a tough Tennessee defense, ranking number 22 with players this week. Curtis Samuel managed to put up more points than all three of Ben and all three of Gary's receivers combined.
Oh, how about
so,
that?
So, great start. Almost doubled his projection. So, great start by Shelby.
Yes, strong start there. I'm going to have to also, not by plan, I'm going to double dip on Shelby's team and go ahead and give her credit for the Lamar Jackson start. So, obviously.
Handsomest quarterback in the league.
Arguably, Shelby will have to let us know in the Bragger League chat. So, but I'm going to go with LJack. So I was the dummy that said she wouldn't be crazy if she started Mustache Minshew. Obviously, that did not quite work out. LJack seemed to have no trouble with the Patriots D and Baltimore. Baltimore ended up winning the game. So definitely a strong start of the week. And so since we've got her out here, we're going to toss it to the queen of fantasy football herself. Babe, who quick looking down the teams there, who would you say is the start of the week?
I think I'd have to give it to Jordan Howard on Josie's team. He came off of a great week last. His numbers have not been that consistent. They've been good, but not that consistent.
Yeah, no kid.
I mean, he did score 29 against Green Bay, but after that, not too much. And so I'd have to give it to him for putting up 14 in his flex.
Yeah, the old plotter himself, Mr. Jordan Howard, somehow finding a way to stay fantasy relevant. So great segment there. So let's move to the dud of the week. And this is only this is only being brought out by the one and only Mr. Josie Gibbons, primarily because of the sheer amount of effort that Stenton's put towards it. So go.
I have different opinions when it comes to the start of the week, but I think it's pretty unanimous for the dud of the week. To have somebody on your bench for 8 weeks of the season just waiting on a chance to start them, only to have them put up half a point and leave for the rest of the season. D-Jax himself on Stenton's team, just 100% disappointment. And you know, as everyone else who is falling behind Stinton and is just hoping to catch up, it was scary to think that, okay, he's got a team that's putting up that number of points and he's undefeated, and now he's going to add Djax to that lineup. It's comforting to know that he's not going to be a weapon in Stinton's arsenal moving forward. But, man, waiting all season to start him and getting a half a point only to lose him for the rest of the season, that's got to be the dud of the week. Dud of the season.
Yeah, certainly a letdown for sure. So, all right, guys, we're going to move into our final segment. We're going to hit you guys with a little bit of Noakes Knows. And since we got our man J-Ball on the pod, we're going to give the people what they want a little bit more, J-Ball. So, J-Ball, we'll toss it to you for this segment.
Bragger. All right. So, Noakes Knows, it's everybody's favorite segment. I really like what y'all've done with it. Early on in the podcast history, we were given Shelby the names of current NFL players to see if Noakes knows them. Then on the last episode, I really liked what Logan did, which was give her some historical NFL players. So we're going to branch out from football this week. A lot of you might remember, those of you guys who are around my age, you might remember in 1999 when ESPN put out the list of the top 100 athletes of the 20th century. So these are the top, according to ESPN, these are the best athletes from the U.S. in the 20th century. They should definitely be names that we know. I'm going to start with number one because that should be the most obvious, and we should move down to less obvious as we go. But before we start, we're going to take just some friendly wagers here. First of all, we're going to do an over-under. How many names? I'm going to put the over-under. I'm looking at the list right now. I'm going to put the over-under at 5.5. How many names will I have to say before Noakes does not know the sport this athlete Ooh. Is best known for? Ooh. The over-under is 5.5. I'm starting with the most famous.
That's too high. I'm taking the under.
Okay, the under. So before I get to the fifth name, before I get to the sixth name, Noakes will not know.
Correct.
Yeah, probably the third.
Okay, Josie, over-under.
As someone who roots for Threat Level Midnight on a regular basis, unfortunately, I'm going to have to go with the under.
Brett, you with us? Over under 5.5. Somebody bet.
I have an idea of who's going to be on this list, and I know that there are going to be a couple of like funky sports on there. But for the sake of like embracing debate the way that First Take does, I will be Stephen A. Smith and I'll take the over.
All right, we're going to do one more over under. After Shelby hits a name she doesn't know, then I'm going to go on and read through just the first 10. We'll make it rapid fire. All she has to do is name the sport. I'm going to leave it at 5.5. How many will she know out of 10? Do you understand the difference here?
Under.
Under 6.
Under.
I'll take the over this time.
Okay, she'll know more than 5.5.
Yeah.
Brett?
Honestly, don't totally understand what we're doing here, but I'm going to take the under.
How many names do you think she'll know out of 10?
On the list?
Yeah, not just any list of names.
I'm going to take the over.
All right. Actually. All right, we're killing too much time. Let's do it. All right, Shelby, all you have to do is name the sport.
Okay.
These were ESPN's top 100 athletes of the 20th century. Number one, Michael Jordan.
Basketball.
Number two, Babe Ruth.
Baseball.
Number three, Muhammad Ali.
Boxing.
Boy, she's at three. Number four, Jim Brown. It's Crap. A generic name.
Football.
She got it.
Woo!
Number fluke. Number five, we're gonna get a little easier. Wayne Gretzky.
Hockey.
Okay.
With a question mark.
And here's where the over-under comes in. If she gets this one, y'all are all a bunch of chumps, and you should have bet on my girl Shelby. If she doesn't get this one, then y'all are all geniuses. Number six, Jesse Owens.
Oh, no way. Jesse Owens.
How is that on the list?
Come on, man. That's pandering.
Football as well.
Not football. So everybody that took the under was right. And so far, he was track and field.
Oh, okay.
And so far, Noakes has 5 out of 6 names right. So let's keep going. Number 7, Jim Thorpe. Easier than you think.
Baseball.
Okay, that's one of his sports. He's listed for baseball, track and field, or football. Number eight, Willie Mays.
Baseball.
Number 9, Jack Nicklaus.
Not Jack Nicklaus.
I don't know who Jack Nicklaus is.
Jack Nicklaus, he did not star in the Stephen King movie that I just blanked out on. He did not start.
The Shining.
He did not do that. He started in another basketball. Way. Not basketball, oh, but babe, so, people often confuse basketball and golf, which was the correct answer.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
And number 10, if you know this one, I want you to post in the group chat and do not lie about it. Number 10, Babe Zaharias. Babe Zaharias. Track and field is one of the answers.
That's 8.
He or she was golf and track and field, because everybody knows that golfers can both run and field very well. So how many did she get right out of 10?
She got 8.
Y'all are a bunch of haters and doubters and Mormons and chumps. Way to go, Shelby. Noakes does, in fact, know.
If you're keeping track, I was right on the under and the over.
We're not keeping track. I'm proud of my girl Noakes.
Totally keeping track.
Because Noakes does, in fact, know. And that will close our weekly Noakes Knows segment. I just want to say, are we leaving now?
Yeah.
Thank y'all so very much for having me on the podcast. All I had to do was get into the group chat and shame the absolute crap out of everybody who's never invited me onto the podcast, which would be everybody. I've now appeared on one podcast compared to lots, more than we could even count, for a lot of other guys like Josie and Logan and Steven Adams, great friend of the show. I hope when the dust all settles that I'll be known as a friend of the show also. Enemy of the state, friend of the show. That's what they say about me. And one last thing, Bragger.
All right. Certainly appreciate our man J Ball being on the show. Closing thoughts, Brett, what you got?
Well, like, is Justin still there, or did he actually leave when he said that?
I can neither confirm nor deny the presence of one J Ball.
Bragger.
Gotcha. Okay, still there. I don't really have any closing thoughts. I was kind of hoping we could discuss the Make America Great Again and Steven Adams, great friend of the show, trade. But we don't have time. It's all good. My only closing thoughts are, very excited to see you guys on Thursday. I will indeed be there. It's going to be a lot of fun to see Josie do the mugshot challenge. But I feel like Josie can do it with his head held high, knowing that he's got a real good chance at hoisting the trophy.
I motion that Josie, while enjoying the mugshot challenge, drink at least one chug of beer out of his toilet bowl trophy. Do I have a second?
That's a really small trophy. It'd be like a shot.
Shot of beer. No, shot of tequila, toilet bowl trophy. I'm calling it here and now. If it doesn't happen, you're a little woman and not a good at fantasy football woman like Shelby.
All right, moving on. Jose, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, two things right off the bat. Just one, I'm really excited this year to actually do my punishment when I have a chance of not having another consecutive punishment.
That's gotta feel good.
That's encouraging. So regardless of how much I embarrass myself at mugshots, I hopefully will not have to do anything else degrading at the end of this season. That's a good feeling. And then second, Justin, great to have you on the show. Really enjoyed it. And I, for one, am totally blown away that you didn't say anything that makes us not want to invite you back. So great job.
I appreciate you saying that. While being simultaneously offended that you're blown away. I actually have much more of a filter than people give me credit for.
You'd have to.
You wouldn't know till now.
All right, babe, closing thoughts.
Just always enjoy being out here. Thanks for embarrassing me. No, just a little bit.
You did great.
Thank you. And Josie, I look forward to our matchup this week.
Ooh, it's going to be a tough one. Bimageddon, but I plan on putting up a fight.
People, I'm just going to put this bug in your ear. You really need to be rooting for me over Steven Adams, great friend of the show. If you are a 3-6 team, you should be rooting for the Koi Pond.
I root against everybody.
That's all that I'm saying.
And I root for everybody every week. So, so where does that put us? All right, and this is your commish. No, no closing thoughts here, other than I'm grateful that you guys are listening. So I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the gridiron. We got this. Brett. Hello.